Thank you so much for being here tonight. I was thinking just a moment ago, and Glenda, I appreciate you sitting up front here, because actually when you're watching this on YouTube, it looks like I'm preaching to a Joe Biden rally. It looks like there's nobody out there. And I want to explain to our audience out there tonight that may be watching this via Facebook or perhaps YouTube, that we do have an audience here tonight. They're just kind of scattered around a little bit. But anyway, we appreciate them and appreciate all of you that may watch this on a periodic basis. And we do have a number of people that do, and we're grateful for that. I want to talk to you tonight a little bit about this problem that we have here in this world called grief. You know, that song suggests that the land beyond is fair and bright. And there will be no more grieving, no more sorrow, not according to what John said, no more death. Now, neither shall there be any more pain, for all those former things are passed away. We often sing the song, Tell It to Jesus. Are you weary? Are you heavy-hearted? Tell it to Jesus and Him alone. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus and Him alone. You know, we grieve over a lot of things. I was looking on the internet the other day, and I just asked for a list of things over which people grieve. And there were 21 of them, actually. I thought there were closer to 30, but there were actually about 21 over things that people grieve. Maybe the death of a spouse, divorce, marital separation, maybe imprisonment, the death of a close family member, personal injury or illness, marriage itself, being dismissed from your job, a change in health of a family member, pregnancy. I don't think any of you have anything to worry about there, but anyway, a change in financial status, the death of a close friend. Maybe a child grows up and gets married. Trouble with in-laws. I don't know about that one. Spouse starts or stops work. Revision of personal habits. Maybe kids with a change in school or activities or whatever, a change in sleeping habits, or a change in eating habits, or Christmas, or the loss of trust, or the loss of your body movement. And that could really be a reason maybe for us to grieve. We know that grieving really is a process, and it's really not a problem. I know people talk about the problem of grieving. It really isn't a problem. It is something that is very natural. It is something that God has asked us to do. But sometimes our grieving is a loss before it happens. It's kind of like our worries and our anxieties. We worry and we get so upset about a lot of little things in life that never, ever happen. And sometimes we grieve in the same way. But I know one thing, that this thing that we call grief, if you want to call it a problem, you can, or whatever. But I hope you'll see it in a little bit different light tonight. Someone asked the question, is grief wrong? Is it wrong for us to grieve? Well, that song that we sing says, grieving over joys departed. Maybe sometimes it would behoove us to go back and think about, what are the joys that we have lost and what causes us? You know, there is a book in the Old Testament. It was written by Jeremiah, the great prophet, the one that we call the weeping prophet. And he wept over Israel and many of the problems that they were going through. And it's called the Book of Lamentations. And it really is a book on how to grieve and what to grieve for in the Old Testament. Some of us grieve over a lot of things. We shed a lot of tears over mundane things, small things, things that are of little consequence in life. And as I mentioned to you this morning, that even God grieves. For in the book of Genesis chapter 6, the Lord saw how great man's wickedness had become on the earth, and that every imagination of the thought of his heart was only evil all the time. And so the Lord was grieved that he had made man on the earth, and his heart was filled with pain. That tells you, as I mentioned this morning, that God is an emotional God. God can feel pain. And, you know, Bill Clinton, you say, I feel your pain. God can feel your pain. Nobody is more connected to you than the God who made you and fashioned you in His likeness. And the Bible says in the book of John 11 and verse 35 that Jesus wept. Now that's an emotional response to something or to perhaps someone. The Bible says that we can even grieve the Holy Spirit. Paul says, grieve not the Holy Spirit whereby you have been sealed unto the day of redemption. He says that, if you will. Now, consider that. He says, the Holy Spirit with whom you have been sealed for the day of redemption. And blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted, Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 4. So if you're grieving, you may be grieving over a lot of things. Maybe you have grieved over some of the things. I don't know if you can see these or not. I hope you can. Maybe the death of a family member. Maybe the death of a pet. Linda Johnson was talking to me this morning about her little dog, and she was afraid they were going to have to put the dog down. It was at the vet hospital. And but anyway, she was grieving actually over that little dog. And you can look at the percentages of those who grieve over certain things. Maybe the loss of a job, the end of a career, the loss of a home. You think about all those people out in California and maybe over in North Carolina, across our nation, who have lost their possessions either by floods or too much water or too much fire. Maybe the death of a partner, a dear friend, or the death of one of your children. And we've had a number of people in our congregation through the years that have lost their children prematurely, that have died. And that's a tragic thing. That's not the normal way for it to happen. One reason that we often find grief such a difficult challenge is that we have never learned what to expect. There are 10 facts about grief or grieving that I want you to know, and I want to share with you, and we'll do this quickly enough. We'll get you out of plenty of time where you won't start grieving, okay? Now, grief is a normal thing. It is normal. And sometimes people say to other people that are grieving, well, you don't need to grieve. Don't grieve over it. It's not that bad. Well, you know what? It's a natural thing. And sometimes we think it's okay if it's us telling someone not to grieve. But if someone is telling us not to grieve, then it really disturbs us. Grief is like the ocean. It comes on waves, ebbing and flowing, and sometimes the water is calm, and sometimes it is overwhelming, and all we can do is just simply learn to swim, whatever is going on. Grief is not a disease. It's not wrong for you to grieve. It is a normal human response to any kind of loss that you consider to be really significant in your life. People say, encourage you, be strong, don't cry. But you know what? Someone said that God gave us tears to bathe the emotions of the heart. And I think that's so true in life. But how sad it would be if someone you cared about and died, we didn't cry. We didn't shed a tear. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I have been at memorial services through the years here and down at Roan Funeral Home, Bailey Foster Funeral Home, Harrington, every one of them. And I have been at those services sometimes when people didn't shed one tear, not one. Not one. But that would be a tragic thing. Our grief is saying that we miss the person that we're struggling to adjust to a life without, and that special bond or relationship that holds us together. And when you stop and think about it, you know, we try to minimize the grief of other people when sometimes it's best for them to express their grief and get over that problem that may be plaguing you. But you're not crazy or weak or some people say, well, they're just not handling it very well. Maybe they're handling it real well. Maybe they're handling much better than you would handle it as an individual. If you're experiencing grief and after a significant loss, then there again, it's just a natural thing. Secondly, the worst kind of grief is yours. We have been led to believe that, to feel that maybe in our heart, that the worst grief you could possibly be is your own. If you ever think about other people, the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 12 that we are to weep or grieve with those that grieve. That's what he says. Weep with those that weep and rejoice with those that rejoice. It is better for us, so God says, for us to help others through their grief. I still think of Zig Ziglar, who once said that the best way in the world to get what you want is to help another person get what he wants. Well, that may be true if you reverse that and talked about grief. Maybe the best way for you to overcome your grief is to get involved in their life and help them overcome their grief. A loss is a very personal matter. And your loss seems like the worst possible thing that could ever happen to anybody. It's just, again, just as natural and normal. I don't know how Ben handles that all the time down there. I really don't, Ben. I think you do an excellent job, great job. And if you'll give us the price, we'll announce that next Sunday night. But anyway, but he does an excellent job. But to work around that all the time, every minute, I mean, and it's true, it's a difficult thing. Sometimes people ask if it is more difficult to lose a spouse or to lose a child. And I'll let you think about that one a little bit tonight. Is it harder for you? We think it would be harder for you to lose your wife or your husband or losing your child. Others question if it is worse to lose someone after a long, lingering illness or if they die suddenly and unexpectedly from a heart attack or in an accident. Which would be easier for you to adjust to and overcome your grieving? What do you think? Well, it is something that we have to meditate upon. One of these days, we're going to lose a loved one in our family. It's going to happen, and we might as well get ready for it. And maybe it's difficult to get ready for something like that. People say a lot of times out of the hospital, when I've been out there with them, well, you know, we knew they were sick. We just didn't know they were that sick, and we just didn't have any idea it was going to happen. But thirdly, let's talk a minute about the way out of grief, and the way out is through it. David said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." He didn't say, "I will walk into the valley." He didn't say, "I'm going to sit down and stay in the valley." But he said, "I will walk through the valley." And grief has no deadlines. We learn to live with grief rather sometimes than to get over it. How is it sometimes? You know, when you see people deal with it in different ways, sometimes you see people who seemingly never, ever get over the death of a loved one. And I know it's tough. I've been through that. I've lost all my brothers and sisters. I preached every one of their funerals. That's tough. Except for one brother who lived in Boston, and I didn't get to go to his funeral because it was we had COVID going on, couldn't catch a flight out. But it's very difficult. I dealt with it at a very young age when my mother died, and I was 12 years of age. But grief is something that we all have to deal with. But again, David said, "I walked through that valley. I didn't come to stay in it." Grief is painful, and the loss is one of the most difficult of human experiences. There is no easy way around it. We may try to avoid the pain. We may try to get over it as quickly as possible, but most often, it simply just does not happen. It doesn't. Helen Keller, you know, I've always had tremendous respect for her when you read the story of her life. Helen Keller was unable to see, and that was based upon someone's malpractice when she was a young girl. And the only way, she said, to get to the other side is to go through the door. And sometimes we have to walk through that door of grief. We need to find the courage to go through that grief wherever we are. And learning this is a major way or a key to overcoming it. When I think of grief, I think of shock and denial. Sometimes we've had people that whose life was snuffed out maybe by a drunk driver, and that happened many, many years ago, and I could go back in the annals of history and tell you a lot of things like that that happened. But and sometimes it's disbelief, sometimes it's tending to business, or then you go back to a return to normal and life just goes on. But sometimes people become angry when someone dies. This is one of the emotions that psychiatrists will tell you that you go through. Anger and depression. You get bitter and you get resentful. And then you start asking questions like, why? Why did God allow this to happen? And then you start feeling guilt that maybe if someone hadn't gotten out on the highway and you delayed them a little bit, they wouldn't have had an accident. Sometimes it's a loss of our faith in God. But some people go through what we call release and honor. We have that emotional release where we ask God to help us to overcome it. We honor the life of those that have departed. That's why we have funeral services. Those are traditional. They're all different. We've had members here that when they died, they just died, and the families didn't do anything at all about it. They didn't have a memorial service or a funeral. I've never understood that, but maybe that was their way of dealing with their grief. I don't know. Sometimes there's a sense of peace that begins to settle in when we go through it. And then there is a return to love, loving thoughts and feelings about the departed. And then there's feelings of love for those who are living. And then accepting and enjoying life once again. Fourthly, your grief is intimately connected to the relationship that you have with God. You know, Jesus went to that little community of Bethany in John chapter 11. And in verse 35, the Bible says that Jesus wept. I mean, it wasn't just shedding a tear. But he went there because of his great affinity toward Lazarus. And Mary and Martha had summoned him, and he had delayed his going. They were upset because he hadn't got there early enough before he died. And he said, the reason I delayed is that I wanted to show you the works of God. And after a minute or two, he called into the tomb and said, Lazarus, come forth. And he made an attempt to get out of that tomb. And Jesus says, take off the grave clothes. You're not going to be in a grave. You're going to walk around. He had a relationship with God. We may grieve at the loss of a parent differently from the loss of a friend. Each made his contribution in our own lives as individuals, but what we have lost is not the same, and so we grieve differently. I've seen some people grieve, horrendously, and others who didn't grieve in such a fashion. But in the book of Psalms 18 and verse 2, David said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. He is my deliverer, and my God is my rock, in whom I take refuge, my shield, he says, and the horn of my salvation, and he is my stronghold. I cry aloud unto God. I cry out to him, and he will hear me. Psalm 77 and verse 1. But number five, grief is hard work. We all need God. You'll never get over your grief without God. I know sometimes people say, well, just think about where they are. They're in heaven now. And I'm going to tell you something. I understand all that. That they're in the presence of God, awaiting the great judgment day and the resurrection and destruction of the world as we know it. But we do not understand the feelings of one another. I have never stood by a casket here in this building and said to anyone, don't cry. Because I have cried with them. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit, David said, Psalm 34 and verse 18. He is close to us. I like the encouraging words we read of Paul in 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4. Blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all of our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves have been comforted by God. We are to comfort one another. We are. A grief response is often referred to as grief work. That's what it's called. It requires more energy and work than people would expect. It takes a toll on us physically and emotionally. I mean, we can be so deep in grief that it just bothers us emotionally, but even physically. And this is why we often feel fatigued after the loss, or why we may feel apathetic toward people and certain events. And sometimes people say to others, well, come on, let's just go somewhere. Let's just get out and let's go do something. That's not always the answer to dealing with grief, folks. It's not. For no one, according to that book of Lamentation, chapter 3, no one is cast off by the Lord forever. Though he brings grief, he will show compassion. That is, when God allows us to go through grief, he shows us his compassion. So great is his unfailing love, for he does not willingly bring affliction or grief to anyone. The problem is often compounded by people's expectation of you and me to be strong, to not shed tears, to not weep, to not grieve, and just go on with your life. But number 6, your grief will take longer than most people think. It does. The Bible says, Jeremiah, again, the great prophet, and then David said the same thing, that weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come again in the morning. And it does. God is close to the brokenhearted. Again, Psalms 34. Coping with grief makes us want to isolate ourselves from everybody else. Sometimes being in the presence of others who have experienced similar things can help us tremendously. The first few months may be the time when it's just so particularly intense for all of us. The first year is difficult, especially that first Christmas after the death of a loved one, or maybe the first birthday, or the anniversary, or Mother's Day, or Valentine's Day, or a year ago today she died. Most people can tell you they still honor the death of their... I can tell you my mother died on March the 3rd. That's tomorrow, in the year 1960. And I can remember like it was yesterday. All are difficult days. But we must anticipate them and know that we're not abnormal. And we must learn to be compassionate with ourselves. For someone has said, he who has no time to mourn has no time to heal or to mend. Number 7, grief is unpredictable. You don't know when it's going to happen or how it's going to happen. Some people wear a face when they could be grieving very deeply down inside. For grief is just love with no place to go. You showered it upon your loved ones, but they're gone. You may experience a wide variety of feelings and reactions, not just those generally associated with grief, like sadness and crying and depression. And some of your responses may seem a little different or uncharacteristic of those who are in grief. People say, well, this is just not like me, and maybe it isn't, I don't know. Grief is unpredictable. We cannot present it in a neat, predictable package and say, this is the way it is. Number 8, there may be secondary losses to deal with. And that's true. The death of an individual, difficult as it may be in and of itself, may also precipitate many other changes in your life. For some, it may mean the loss of financial status, and certainly that happens. We know what Social Security does to someone who lives on it, and you're married and you're a couple. There is a tremendous reduction when your mate dies. It could be the loss of your home, or even their independence again. Maybe going to an assisted living or to a nursing home. For some, it may mean the loss of a role, the role of being a parent to a child who dies. Or others, maybe something else, like the loss of our hopes and dreams of living happily ever after, or enjoying retirement together when you thought you were going to be able to retire and enjoy the time with your family, but it's gone. Suddenly you're taken out of the picture, or one of them is. And young girls obviously lose the ability for their father, if he dies, to walk down the aisle and give them away and their hand in marriage. Each one has its own impact, and each loss needs to be mourned. Number 9, grief comes and grief goes. And aren't we thankful that it does? You have a sure reason to believe that it's going to happen. But I'm thankful that it does come and that it does go. If you have a sore throat, it's painful for a few days, but then the pain eases off and it gradually disappears. We've had a lot of people that have had the flu and COVID over the last few weeks, and people are back at church doing better. It's over. It's a mood issue. Grief does not work that way. It doesn't. Sometimes at first we do not feel the pain of grief because we are in shock and we are numb. And often the pain is more intense some months, maybe years, after the event itself. Last of all, we do not have to grieve alone. You know what? That's the great comfort of all of it, is the fact that God grieves with us. You know how I know that? The only time, well, actually there are two times in the Bible, but the only time that Jesus really ever grieved or wept, other than the time when he looked over the city of Jerusalem and saw them as sheep without a shepherd. The other time is found in John 11:35, when Jesus had gone to that community of Bethany, and when he stands at the grave, the Bible says that Jesus wept. Wept! And you know what their response was? Oh, how he loved him. Oh, how he loved him. And just as Jesus wept with Mary and Martha, he weeps with us as well. As I told you, society has unrealistic expectations about mourning and often responds inappropriately. We say the wrong thing sometimes. Most people do not understand what is normal in grief. And expecting us to get over it very quickly and expressing these expectations in a way that seems less than sensitive to people when we say, well, just get over it. Not that easy, folks. not that easy. Many people mistakenly believe that grief is so personal, we want to keep it to ourselves, and so we turn inward. People mean well, as I've suggested here, but they're not really being helpful. Sometimes when people are using those little cliches that people often use, or they are expressing unrealistic expectation, we feel like shutting ourselves away. I don't need to hear it. And there seems to be a conspiracy of silence. People are afraid to say or do the wrong thing, so they say nothing and do nothing, which is possibly the worst thing in the world to do. Grieving people need to talk. And I counsel with people all the time, long after the funeral. And not everyone will be willing or even able to respond to you. Well, what can we do to help us get through the grieving process? Talk to someone who has been through a similar experience. But today, God has listened. He has attended to the voice of my prayer, David said in Psalm 66 and verse 19. So I would suggest talk to God about it. For he says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a good future and a hope. Then you will call upon me, and you will come and pray to me, and I will hear you, and you will seek me, and you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart. The Bible says that we're to cast all of our cares on him and our griefs. The word cares there in the original language, in that Grecian language, actually refers to the worries, the difficulties, the needs of this world, the anxieties, and your griefs. You can cast that on our Lord. Didn't Jesus say, last of all, to come unto me all ye that labor under heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest to your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Maybe tonight you're grieving. I don't know. We all do. Sometimes we don't want to face it, we don't want to admit it. But I know one thing. One of the things that we can do for grieving people is to pray for them and with them. And we're willing to do that with you while we stand and while we sing.